There was a report by Nell that X-Taz is going to be leaving G2. Been reported by Nell. The one thing you can trust Nell, certainly an absolute cretin when it comes to geopolitics and grotesquely irresponsible when it comes to virtue signaling on Twitter. But when it comes to reporting on the French scene, I'll give him an A for that. Just for nothing else. But you can see here, this is it, G2 to part ways with X-Taz. Now, X-Taz has only been there, like, he didn't even make it to a year. And obviously he was there throughout the LXCB period. And now with the team that didn't qualify for the major. And it looks like he is being ousted. It's kind of interesting because it says here they're parting ways. When you say part ways, that's a very soft way of framing it. And that's the headline. But then the first line is, he's being relieved of his duties. Yeah, I asked around before I turned the stream on. And by all accounts, yeah, fired. G2 was shit-canning him, is what I've been told. Now, that could be wrong. If it is, I apologize to X-Taz. I think he's a great guy. But let's operate on that assumption, right? That, yeah, the sack loomed for X-Taz, and he got. I don't know, man. I mean, I've seen a lot of people say, oh, actually, this is typical G2. Why don't they have more patience? Well, okay, but let's just assess X-Taz's career within G2. During the LXCB period, as you'll remember if you watched the No Majors Club at that time, I was reading a number of interviews in French media. And, you know, when X-Taz takes a job, by the way, he's not like one of these other motherfuckers you might see in a North American organization where, like, they're glorified cheerleaders or they're like moral support. He has tons of autonomy in the role. You saw that in Vitality. You saw he could even drop the IGL. You know, boom, out, you're out. Him and Zonic are sort of the two coaches that have had pure autonomy. And by all accounts, it's the same with the media. He doesn't need to get clearance. He can just talk to a publication without having to clear it with anybody. And we were reading these interviews, and there were a number of comments where he was just shitting on LXCB, basically. Shitting on LXCB and saying, you know, look, we've not made the progression that we need to make. Our CT sides especially aren't great and blah, 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 I think it was. Or it might be the T side, whichever. It doesn't really matter for the context. But he was basically saying, we've not made as much progress under LXCB as I would want. And he was saying this, like, while they were playing at major tournaments. Like, it wasn't like, oh, we've come out of a tournament, now let's have a talk. It was while people were playing. And it seemed very clear that him and LXCB, for whatever reason, couldn't vibe. Now, remember, chronologically, X-Taz gets there first. So I'm wondering if, like, LXCB is kind of thinking, I can't work with some, like, some IGLs don't want a strong coach, right? Like, in the sense that they're going to give you loads of input into shit. Your playbook, your call style, everything else. Some people don't want that. Other people, you know, other orgs might want to, for example, you know, back the coach and say, no, the coach does have that influence. And if you can't work with it, go fuck yourself. See, for example, Stanislaw, right? Like, back at Team Liquid, when he basically said it's Zeus or me, and they quite rightly and correctly picked Zeus. The bottom line is, and I've talked about this with Thorin, who was a big proponent of LXCB and has heard his call styles and everything back from when he was doing Flashpoint. You know, he's told me he's a very micromanagement, you know, great caller, very, you know, intensive, complicated playbooks. We know as well from, like, talking about when he had time in other teams, like, coaches wanting to simplify his playbook and saying, actually, they're very complicated and high level. Now, if you're coming and working with, like, truly world-class players, like, you get to work within G2 with their core, probably having a coach, like, second-guess you, I'm guessing it wasn't a very good relationship from Alexi's perspective either. And I'm sure one day Alexi's going to talk about it and we're going to get there. So I'm just putting that on the table. So that, for me, that would be strike one. Because even if you don't vibe with your IGL, I feel like you don't put that out publicly. You don't talk to the media about that, especially during a tournament. If I was talking about it during a stream, it must have been either the last major they were at or an RMR. You know, because they're the only ones that I do the co-streaming for. So, yeah, strike one Then, when Alexei went, all the talk in the town square, was that actually Ekstaz was the one that wanted him gone, and they all backed Ekstaz on that. And then it was Ekstaz that was the guy who wanted to get Hooksy out of all of the available IGLs or all of the solutions to the IGL problem. That's what everyone has said behind the scenes. It was Ekstaz was fully in on the Hooksy train. His call, his decision. And just to underline that as well, I mean, like I looked up some of the old interviews that he did. And you can see this is Ekstaz when he was talking. So this is in August, the day after JKS and Hooksy joined, I think. I think they joined on the 16th of August. This is Ekstaz basically saying, the thing about Nico wanting to call the shots, it's all a myth. Of course, he might not have done it in the 10 months Ekstaz was there. He has historically done it in teams. But that's fine. You know, new Nico, we're all on board with it. That's fine. But anyway, here's the thing he said. There were some good questions in this interview. Here was one. What do you see in Hooksy and JKS that makes you believe their additions will improve the team? Hooksy is more in line with what our team needs. We had a long talk before confirming this choice, and his way of thinking, of working, and even the game style he has in mind should help us understand each other quickly in game. Well, what about today, dickhead? No, I'm just kidding, right? That quote is ridiculous within the context of history, and it shows, reading between the lines, that this was Ekstaz's decision. Like, very much so. We had a conversation. We sat down. We interviewed him extensively. And we were impressed with what Hooksy had to say. Now, shelve that point for a moment. Let's just also look at this point here, and we'll come back to the Hooksy talk, right? For JKS, it's quite simple. We were missing a strong anchor, and he is one of them. I've always been interested in this player, and his composure will help us closing the rounds. Of course, he hasn't been on the team for a while, but he's a hard worker and has proven to be open-minded. That's what I was looking for as well. More open-mindedness. So again, little allusion to Alexei B, in my opinion. That's how somebody, you know, who's not a casual should read that, I think. But right, so let's just say about the JKS stuff. One of the things that nobody talked about, and Maniac made a really good point about it on Twitter, that because the CTs have so many tools these days, it's actually players that play really strong T sides that have more value. Because anybody, really, like any competent tier 1 player, should be able, with all the tools at their disposal, to be able to be a decent anchor and lock down a bomb site, really. Like right now, like it's easier than ever has been to play strong CT sides, probably since 2015, right? So for me, when you say, oh, we picked up this player because he's got a really good CT side, okay, but what about his T sides? And JKS's T sides are notoriously terrible. I mean, you know, you could be nice about it and call them average, but his numbers on T side, his production on T side is notoriously poor. So I'm also just going to say there, like, you know, and oh, Richard, you trying to analyze the game. Hey, Maniac's a top analyst, and he said pretty much what I'm saying to you. So he just didn't get into the specifics about JKS. So that, to me, was another aspect of what I hadn't thought about. I mean, I'd said I don't rate JKS's T-sides multiple times when Reddit were all like, where's JKS today? Where in the world is JKS? When Reddit was doing that shit. Right, but the reality is, yeah, actually, in retrospect, that's really bad. That's a really bad scouting call, actually. And it's probably indicative of why you're having, you know, problems with G2, irrespective of the Hooksy stuff. So anyway, getting back to Hooksy, this is a big jump for Hooksy in terms of players he has to work with. Also now being in a big organization under a lot of pressure to perform after coming from a Copenhagen Flames team that was generally viewed as an underdog. Do you believe he's ready for the challenge? Coming from a much less experienced background, will he have the authority to lead an experienced and star-studded team like this? And he just goes, this is Ekstaz, right? This question would apply to any IGL wanting to join G2, wouldn't it? If you don't try, how can you ever know? He has a strong character and knows what he wants. If you always recruit someone based on his proven ability to deal with pressure, your shortlist is going to be really short. So, two quotes there about Hooksy, right? The first being, Hooksy is more in line with our team needs. Let's assess that statement. What What does that like? I can't understand how you can arrive at that conclusion, because what the team needed was like a really, really good IGL, but obviously someone that can hold their own. Because unfortunately, we know there are games where, you know, the players you need to perform are going to go missing. It's just the nature of the beast. G2 has a fantastic core, one of the most talented cores in the world. But unlike other cores, sometimes consistency is a problem for those players. And like, look, at the end of the day, Nico is a star player who sometimes does go missing. Not always, very rarely. The Choco stuff is stupid. But it can't always be you've got to put a team on your back. It can't always be you've got to carry super hard like a Ziwu or a Simple. That is not a viable way to build a team. So, Hooksie, how would you know he's what the team needs? Like, based on an interview? Based on talking? Well, look, listen, I can go into a fucking interview. I could be in Elon Musk's office tomorrow and tell him I'm the guy who fucking monetized Twitter and blow smoke up his ass. It's an interview. I'm going to fucking back myself, aren't I? But the reality is, like, you have to look at empirical evidence outside of the interview fucking setting. And there's nothing there that ever suggested Hooksie could ever be an IGL for a top-tier organization, a truly top-tier organization. He's never been one. He couldn't get Copenhagen Flames to winning trophies. Remember, I keep saying it, Hooksie has to be the most overrated IGL ever to go from taking Copenhagen Flames into a top eight finish at a major, right, to get them to that stage, and then now you're just airlifted into one of the best orgs in the world. Absolutely, that's madness, you know, because that's like saying you would do it for all the other teams that have occasionally fluked like a top eight finish. It's ridiculous. So no, there is nothing to indicate he was what your team needs. And Alexei's fragging, by the way, wasn't great in G2, but Hooksie's fragging throughout his career is a travesty. It is abysmal. And listen, top fragging against Ecstatic with players you've never heard of doesn't unring that fucking bell. It just doesn't. So then he said he has a strong way of thinking, of working, great game style he has in mind, and we should help understand each other quickly in game. Now, I don't know about you, right, but the G2 I've been watching since Hooksie got there, and yes, it's only October, and yes, he only got there in August, but the G2 I've watched since Hooksie arrived, they don't look to be any tactically sounder than they were under a dysfunctional Alexei B Xtas combo, right? And in fact, I have seen them openly throw games down the home straight with just like ridiculous stupid calls, like just like, let's keep trying to force getting into this bomb site four rounds in a row, you know, let's do this ultra heavy rotate with limited information. Like, it is just, if I had to sum up their T sides, it would be brute force. And if I had to sum up their CT sides, I would say stale and uninspired. Even when I watch Heroic, for all people like Mock Cadian and call them chokers or whatever, when I watch Heroic, I will see one or two like amazing rounds where there's like a wild card play or a really smart force buy or an incredible eco or just a ballsy play. I can't remember the last time I saw anything like that from G2. Literally can't. So I don't know where his ideas are. So listen, with that interview in mind, right, I just want to say, a lot of people are saying, oh, Xtas shouldn't have been fired. And Yanko made a good point. Let me just find Yanko's Twitter. Because it is kind of important before you make an assessment. So whether he was removed or quit makes all the difference here. If he quit after they just made roster changes, which were made because him and Alexei weren't on the same page, and the team just had a soul-crushing result, then he is hanging them out to dry, and that's unacceptable. If he was removed, then it's another example of the org being impatient and not letting things develop. I don't think G2 was an org where the players would even have the power to remove their coach. That decision can only come from above. So I agree with almost all of that, right? Like, certainly if he's walked away at this time, it's like you gotta have another crack at the next major, right? And I would have thought Xtas, you know, the major's gonna be in Paris, he's French, you know, like maybe I wouldn't have thought he'd walk ahead of that challenge. I'm pretty sure, based on what I've been told, he has been sacked, like essentially been fired. But I'll also just add this. I don't think that's a bad decision. all in all. Like, I think it's probably going to be tough for people to accept, and not a lot of people are going to vibe with this opinion, but, you know, it's me, so whatever. He basically undermined his last IGL, then backed an IGL that is dog shit. That is, like, provably dog shit. Like, absolutely played terribly, has led terribly, has done nothing but bring about fucking negative attention onto the org with all these stupid fucking memes. And how, essentially, the entire org, Hooksy was so bad, the entire organization, right, had to basically come up with memes and embrace this GigaChad shit and make Twitter posts and do nonsensical interview quotes to basically try and keep his, you know, positivity levels up. You know, if every interview you have to, if you have to say, oh yeah, Hooksy's amazing, yeah, brilliant, yeah, best IGL I've ever played with. If you have to say shit like that in every interview, it's probably not true, is it? So it was ridiculous. So, and if XTAZ has made that decision and advocated for him, which it certainly looks like he did based on those interview answers he's given, then fuck it. I put it this way. If I've been in a company nearly a year and I make a recommendation for a hire and that person comes in and essentially sabotages the company to the point where we lose the opportunity to make millions of dollars in, like, sticker revenue and sponsor revenue, God knows what else. And, like, it couldn't have come at a worse time. You had all the Carlos drama. Carlos is out at G2. They didn't get a Valorant slot, which would have, you know, earned them millions as a marketing tool. Then your team doesn't quite, your CS team, the one given you've got is your CS team's challenging for titles. Not anymore. You can't even get through an RMR. An RMR that Hooksy says is too easy to get through. You can't even do that. So, unfortunately, usually I have a problem with coaches being the ones that have to fall on their swords to basically give the IGL another life, right? I usually have an issue with that. But in this instance, nah, fuck it. Like, Hooksy's got to go, like, 100%. Like, I mean, if we go into 2023 and he's still the man, like, you know, fuck G2. Like, you just don't deserve to win. But if XTAZ is the person that's, like, advocated for this and made this happen and put them there, then fuck it. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, that's... backing Hooksy is a sackable offence. That's my take, essentially. I am not sad to see XTAZ go. I think he's a great coach, great guy. But one of the problems you got... this was the other point I wanted to make before we wrap up this one, and then we'll talk about some major stuff. People don't realise how tunnel-visioned players and coaches can get. Like, they get ideas in their head, you know, like Nico wanting to play with Kiebi when he was at FaZe. Like, motherfucker, like, couldn't even hold it down at endpoint, you know, why, like. And they get and coaches do it all the time, like, and you saw with that Peter interview, Hooksy's a better IGL than Khan. Like, fuck me. The shit that comes out of, like, people's mouths. And, like, these guys, they know the game. They understand the game. They know the scene. They know the business. They're generally smart people. They're generally nice people. You know, like, I like a lot of these guys. But unfortunately, everyone has, like, just a ridiculous fucking blind spot that they can't extricate themselves from and just see from, like, a bird's eye view. You know, like Chad with JKS. And, you know, that's because they're mates, and that's fine. And Yanko and Nico have that thing, and that's fine. You know, and it makes sense. But, like, some people have some, like, staggeringly stupid ideas. And it's like, I think XTAZ is such a fucking cerebral guy. Like, when he, and I think Hooksy's a cerebral guy. I don't think Hooksy's a dummy. I think Hooksy's a clever dude, but he just can't play CS for shit. And he's never had to come up with really smart tactics, like, to actually, you know, like, it, you know, at the end of the day, the difference between beating the 99% before that 1% at the top, it's night and day. To go the extra mile. And that's what separates the great from the good. And Hooksy's barely good. I'll give him... I'll let you call him good. But you're playing at a great org with great players around you, and you're not a great IGL. You are, by the standards of an IGL at that level, you are dog shit. You are the worst that there's ever been, probably. Like, so, you know, I don't know what to say about that. So the idea that Hooksy essentially, like, blagged a fucking interview and got this opportunity, and Reddit pushed for it, and then when it happened, they were against it. And then he had a bad game, and then they memed him, and then he had a good game, and then everybody said he was good. For real this time. It's just mental. I lost all respect, to use an HLTV meme, for G2 when they recruited these players. It sounds like either Xtaz did this, in which case, I don't know what the fuck he's smoking in his spare time, right? Or the org were like, look at all these Reddit threads. Didn't JKS just do well at Katowice? It's like, holy shit, like, you're meant to be an elite-level organization. This is like when fucking football managers actually go and sign football players because they're good in fucking champ manager. I was just talking about that earlier today with Carve. 97, 98, Ibrahima Bakayoko going to Everton. What about now, dickhead? It's ridiculous. So yeah, I can't really in good conscience say this was a bad like decision or anything. I can't fucking defend Xtaz here. You vouched for Hooksian essentially. Like, how are G2 not at the major? Like, just think about that. Look at some of the teams that made it through and G2 aren't there. Like, Astralis, it's not even that shocking. Even by comparison, it's shocking. But then G2 is like, it's one of the most shocking, them not being at this major, is one of the biggest fails in fucking CS history. I don't think people have, like, processed it quite so much, like, how mental it is. Like, you know, you got dusted by one win. Like, are you fucking mad? It's one of the biggest failures of all time in the history of the sport. There's no washing that stink off, boys. Like, I hate to break it to you. And obviously, as well, just to underline it, what Hooksy said afterwards, it's not good enough, mate. I've tried my hardest. Yeah, we know, mate. We know this is as good as it gets. Like, it's like I say, people don't believe it. If I'm the leader of that team, and my team does that, I quit. I leave. I walk away. Like, I'm out the fucking door. The shame. I'd be ashamed to pick up my paycheck. Like, for real. But that's me, I guess. Like, you know. And people go, no, you wouldn't. 100% would. Like, walked away from piles of money in my lifetime. Millions. So, yeah, I would. It's just embarrassing. Like, you know. So, whatever. But, yeah, Xtaz has got to go if he's the architect of that. And that's that.